And then there's the guy who would have loved to field gotcha questions, or any questions at all, before a national audience. Lawrence Lessig, Harvard Law professor and crusader for campaign finance reform, announced this week that he is ending his run for president. Lessig explained on our show a couple of months ago that he'd be running a single-issue campaign. That issue? Campaign finance reform. And his promise was that once it had been accomplished, he would resign as president. In the last couple of weeks, when it became obvious that he wasn't getting any traction with that tactic, he renounced his resignation plan and outlined policy positions on 15 other issues, including tax reform and health care. But it was all too little, too late. Larry, welcome back to OTM.
Great to be back.
You had trouble getting traction for your message, I guess partly because you could not get in front of the voters on TV to debate the other Democratic candidates. Why was that?
I didn't get on stage because of this weird catch-22 in the rules for getting access to the debates. The rules the Democratic Party originally said was three polls finding you at 1% within 6 weeks of the debate. Now, we had some trouble originally because the polls weren't even including my name, and so I didn't make the first debate. But then coming up to the second debate, we are increasingly finding that every poll that included my name actually found me at 1%. But then last week, my manager was told by the DNC that the rule is actually three polls finding you at 1% at least 6 weeks before the debate. So there would be no way, obviously, unless we could travel through time to fix that problem.
You did manage to raise more than $1 million in 4 or 5 weeks. Martin O'Malley, who was on stage at the first debate, barely eclipsed $1 million in donations in 3 months. Jim Webb, who dropped out from the race as well, he got under $700,000. Lincoln Chafee dropped out, raised $15,000 and some change for the entire quarter. All three of them were on stage with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. They met the 1% within 6 weeks threshold?
Yes, they did. It's different for an outsider. There's a limited window that you can run for president of the United States if you're not a billionaire or a politician. But, you know, the real issue here, in my view, isn't really the fact that I've been excluded. What's important here, I think, is that there's a perspective that I would add to that debate that's just not going to be on stage. None of those candidates in the first debate focused at all on this crippled institution of Congress because those guys are their buddies. They're insiders with them.
If one were cynical, one could conclude that the Democratic National Committee is itself conflicted, the conflict being that 100% of its constituency raises money through the campaign financing machine that we have now, and there is no benefit in it for rethinking the way that Democrats get elected to office. Are you, in fact, alleging that the DNC excluded you because you represent a threat to its very way of keeping the bills paid?
You know, many people have said that. I'm not going to say that because, you know, I think there's an easier way to understand what's going on here. The Democrats are fiercely trying to regain control of Congress. And in this world where we have an election every 2 years, the insiders can't ever think beyond the next election. It's like these guys are talking about what they're going to do when they get to Atlantic City, where the kids want to go to the boardwalk, the parents want to go to the beach. The uncle, who happens to be an investment banker, wants to go to the casino. But I'm the guy saying, look, the car has four flat tires and someone has stolen the battery to the car and we're not going to get anywhere until we fix this first. That's not a story they want to think about because this fundamental reform doesn't fit easily within the cycle of, you know, running to try to regain control of Congress. And that's exactly why I think outsiders inside this process are so important.
Before you withdrew from the race for the Democratic nomination, you also wrote about what you considered a pretty colossal tactical blunder. And that gets to your promise to your supporters that if they elect Larry Lessig, they can count on two things. President Lessig will secure campaign finance reform and then immediately resign. It seemed like a good idea at the time, not so much to you now, eh?
When you are given 3-minute, 5-minute chunks of time on cable news to explain what you're doing, and you have this feature of your plan, which includes resigning, that's the most attractive thing to be talking about. And that's the only thing that people wanted to talk about. What I'm talking about is getting elected, passing the most important democracy legislation in 50 years, and then once that's done, resigning. But nobody could get to that because they were so focused on this other part.
You allowed yourself to be caricatured as a novelty candidate, a joke candidate, playing some sort of performance art.
Whenever I would have more than 10 minutes or 15 minutes, nobody came away thinking that, you know, this was a joke idea, the idea of fixing the democracy. Like, the point about the blunder is, if you live in a media world where the attention span is tiny, there's only so much you can offer in a tiny bite-sized chunk.
All right, Larry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Former candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination, Lawrence Lessig, teaches law at Harvard. Coming up, is Facebook the magic beans for the newspaper business? This is On the Media. This weekend, you'll receive with your paper a cardboard headset that you can use with a smartphone to watch a virtual reality film about children displaced by war. We'd like you to try this out and tell us what you think. As a news consumer, how did the virtual reality experience affect you? How did you feel about the story? Drawn in or disengaged? Moved or manipulated? What potential or risk do you think virtual reality has for journalism? Record a voice memo on your smartphone and email it to otmproducer1@wnyc.org. We may get in touch or use your comment on the show.